Okay, got it. Yeah, the topic of the shir is the obligation to achieve one's potential. When what opens up the Rambam at the beginning of Hilchos Teshuvah, one gets a text that one senses is the Rambam quoting from somewhere. It's just not that obvious where, because the quotation doesn't seem to be from any Gemara we're familiar with. Certainly not the Gemaras at the end of Maseches Yuma, which the Rambam quotes from so extensively as he continues. And the truth is that what he's quoting from is the Sifri Zuta, which is a sefer that some of the Rishonim didn't have, but the Rambam had, and he quotes the Sifri Zuta. Sifri Zuta is a Medrash Tanoim on Bamidbar. It's called Zuta because the Sifri, the regular Sifri, is bigger. This Sifri is shorter, but it is clearly from Tanoim. And the opening halacha of the Rambam is really a quotation from the Sifri Zuta. So let me remind you how the Rambam opens up. I'm not going to read it to you inside. I'm going to sort of summarize it outside. The Rambam says that there's an obligation to do tshuva for everything you could possibly imagine that you did wrong or didn't do. So that certainly if you were over on a chiyuv kares, a chiyuv misa or a chiyuv kares, you must do tshuva. And even if you get the punishment of misa or of kares, the avera is not wiped away by the punishment that you get. You must do tshuva in order for the avera to be wiped away. And then he goes on to say, and the same is true of mitzvah lo ta'aseh, that if you're in violation of mitzvah lo ta'aseh and you get malkot, it doesn't matter. It doesn't get wiped away unless you do tshuva together with the malkos. And then the rabbin goes on to say something not so obvious that there are even those who question, but the rabbin says it very clearly, and it's based on the Sifri Zuta, that even if you didn't perform a mitzvah taseh that you were obligated to perform, you will have to do tshuva. You might have thought, well, it's an assay. If you do it, it's good. If you don't do it, well, you didn't do anything wrong. I just didn't do something I should have done. So the Rambam says, no. You, if you were mevatel mitzvah assay, you must do tshuva. And as I mentioned, all this is explicit in the Sifri Zuta that the Rambam is apparently quoting. Now, I was taken by this Medrash Tanoim, and I looked it up, and I found that the Medrash says certain things that are not so explicit in other places. One of the lines the Medrash uses is it's a Medrash on the Parsha of Vidui, of Gezel Ager in Parshas Nasa. It says, Ish o isha ki ya'asu. That's the lashon of the pasuk. And the Medrash says, Shechashvu la'asot v'lo asu. That they thought of doing and they didn't do. The drasha seems to be on the word ki ya'asu. Now, the phrase shechashvu la'asot v'lo asu, I think, can be understood in two ways. One way is shechashvu la'asot aveira v'lo asu. In other words, a person had a thought, maybe even a decision, that they're going to do an aveira. They're going to do something wrong. And they didn't do the aveira for whatever reason. Maybe their Yetzer Tov overcame, thank God. maybe they thought they were going to do it, and then the opportunity didn't provide itself. They were going to go to a Treif restaurant, and they try to get there, and lo and behold, the restaurant closes 5 minutes before they get to buy the non-kosher sandwich. So they didn't get to do the Aveira. But the clear implication, or a possible, I should say, implication of that line is that there's need to do tshuva if you thought you were going to do an Aveira, you were planning on doing an Aveira, even though you didn't do it in the end. Which is already saying that there is an Aveira in an inappropriate machshava. You thought to do something wrong. You didn't do it, but you did think to do it. That also requires vidui. That also requires tshuva. But the phrase shechashvu la'asot v'lo asu need not be understood regarding an avera, that you thought to do an avera and you didn't do it. It could be understood in the context of a mitzvah, namely, shechashvu la'asot mitzvah v'lo asu. You planned on doing a mitzvah, but you didn't do it. How many of us does that happen to? I guess I can only speak for myself, but I may not be that unique. So many mitzvahs that we want to do, that we planned on doing, we even made preparations to do. And then when the time comes, we just don't do it. We don't get there on time to do it. We didn't bring the proper paraphernalia, the proper hechsher mitzvah to do it. And the mitzvah that we were really planning on doing, maybe even for so long, we end up not performing. That could also be the interpretation of chashvu la'asot v'lo. Either way, either interpretation of this phrase in the Sifri Zuta, shechashvu la'asot v'lo asu, can be brought back to a pasuk in Yeshayahu that we read in the Haftorah of the Ta'anit Sibur. It's a Haftorah that we're going to read on Tzom Gedalia, Bezrat Hashem, in another week and a half. And we read it every Ta'anit Sibur. There's a Tosfos about this, and the opinion of the Tosfos is that it's actually a Haftorah which is meant to, you'll excuse the term, to kick off the Aseret Yemei Tshuva, and that the Haftarah is meant uniquely for Tzom Gedalia, not so much for the Tzom Gedalia per se, as much as for the whole period of Aseret Yemei Tshuva. Dirshu Hashem b'Yimatzo, Kra'u b'Yoto Karo, and Chazal Darshan, and the Rambam quotes it in Hilchos Tshuva, that you should find Hashem when you should seek Hashem when He's found. Call to him when he is nigh, when he is nearby. And the Medrash says, Elu asar yamim shebein Rosh Hashanah liyom HaKippurim. That is specifically talking about the Aseret Yemei Tshuva. So it's especially appropriate for that time. But the next pasuk, the second pasuk in that of Torah, says, Ya'azov rasha darko vish'aven machshuvotav. The Rasha should leave his path. Get that? The path is not necessarily an Avera in its own right. But the path of the Rasha is a path laden with his Averos, so to speak. It's where he's going, it's where he's preparing to be. But the Pasuk doesn't end with Yazov Rasha Darko. The evil person should leave his thoughts. The implication being that the thoughts that the evil person has to do rishus, is already in Avera in its own right, and is not merely, so to speak, a Hechsher mitzvah, Hechsher Avera for the Avera per se, but is itself a terrible problem. To use a Musardic term, it's mitame the machshava. Instead of using your thoughts for positive, for doing good things, you're using your thoughts to prepare to do bad things. And the use of thought in that way is itself a difficulty. And it's striking that the Targum Yonatan on that pasuk, Yazov Rasha Darkovish Avin Machshavotav, translates the word Machshavotav Eshtonohi. Eshtonot is a very strong word for thoughts. And in the continuation of the Haftorah, which mentions Machshavot in the next pasuk and the next pasuk again, mainly regarding HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it translates the word Machshavot as Machshavata, but the word Machshavotav of the Rasha, of the Ish Aven, is called Eshtonotav. It implies a certain depth of thought. You know, people don't just do averos. Just as mitzvah requires preparation, often enough, not always, but often enough, averos require preparation also. And people make great preparations to do averos. The continuation of the Haftorah regarding Hashem is that my machshavos, Hashem says, always work. They always come to fruition. When I have a machshava, Hashem says, it does not come back unfulfilled. Rather, ki masat asher chafatzti v'itzliach asher shalachtiv. My thought is, it comes to fruition. In fact, there are mefarshim who learned in Briyas HaOlam when it says, Vayomer Hashem, as in Vayomer Hashem Yehi Or, it's not that God had to speak it, but that God's thought does it. God's thought is translated, is transmitted into activity. And we don't need more than that. You know, man is a tzelem Elohim. And it's our obligation to try to imitate God, as expressed especially in the pasuk Kedoshim Tiyu Ki Kadosh Ani Hashem Elokechem. Be holy because I am holy, which if it weren't God speaking, we would think it's a joke. Who could compare our holiness to God's holiness? But we're asked to somehow try to imitate Hashem by being holy the way he is. And this is the obligation of being a tzelem Elohim, to imitate God as much as you can. And one would think that the obligation, or rather, let's put it this way, that God thinks good thoughts and brings them to fruition should obligate us also to think, to work out good thoughts and to bring them to fruition. That we shouldn't just think, we shouldn't just do a mitzvah when it's baliyadcha. True, we should do it. Mitzvah baliyadcha al tach mitzena. But it's not just that we have to do a mitzvah that comes into our possibility. We have to connive. We have to think. We have to try to think, how should we bring about, in a creative way, good things? How could we bring about mitzvot? It's not just when we have good intentions that we have to come about and perform these good mitzvot. we have an obligation to try to figure out, to try to think, what good things should we be doing? Just as God creatively thinks, thought, and continues to think, God thinks of good things to do and does them. We also have an obligation to think good things to do and to bring them about. Now, this is an obligation to imitate God. And the obligation to imitate is not only, it's across the board. So God is creative. We should be creative also. God gave us potential. We should fulfill that potential. We should fulfill that potential in terms of our occupation, in terms of our studies, in terms of our knowledge. If we become a doctor, we should become the greatest doctor as much as we can. If we become a lawyer, we should become the greatest lawyer. In whatever field that we choose professionally for ourselves, we should try to excel in it and to be outstanding at it. And the same is true of hobbies, frankly. If we choose a hobby, do it well. Do it great. Do it as well as you possibly can. And this is so in every endeavor that a person does in life. And it's part of being a Tzelem Elokim. But it's not only in the universal, in the secular realm. Hi. Hi, Rod and Daniel. This is also in the religious realm, in the realm of Shmirat Mitzvot, in the realm of Torah. In other words, you know, we sort of set a goal for ourselves in terms of being a religious person. We want to do what we're supposed to do. And this is true for everyone. It's certainly true of all of us. And in some ways, true of our students also. Our students, they set a goal for themselves. They're going to be an Orthodox student. And each one of them has their own idea as to what it means to be an Orthodox student, which is based probably on what they saw at in their home growing up, or what they saw at the Yeshiva High School if they went to it, or at NCSY, or whatever other Kiruv organization that brought them in to Shmirat Mitzvot. They want to do that. They want to do what they know to be their obligation. But there is an obligation which I think we should try to put across to them beyond that. Doing what you know is great. Doing what everyone else is doing, and you're one of us, is great. But what can you do to properly fulfill your religious potential? Is where you're holding and doing that, is that it? Is that your maximum? Or could you be doing more? Now, we're not just talking about doing this chumrah, doing that chumrah, doing the other chumrah, that we don't know what the basis of the chumrah is. And, you know, Rabbi Bezdin, the Zecher Tzadik Lebracha, used to tell a story that once he walked into the Beis Medrash and one of his students was wearing tefillin for mincha. So he asked him, why are you wearing tefillin for mincha? And he told him, because I heard that the Briska Rav wore tefillin for mincha. Now, I have no idea whether that's true or not. But this student was not the Briska Rav. And the notion that he should be looking to the Briska Rav to imitate is a mistake. That's not what we're talking here about living up to one's potential religiously. But there are whole realms of religious life that unless a person decides that they're going to take an effort into them, then they're not going to. In other words, this is how I am. This is what I do. That's it. Make sure not to ask me to do more. I may kick you in the face. The need to for a person, for a religious Jew, to expand the horizon of what he might do could be, first of all, in Shmirat Mitzvot itself. It certainly applies to Chesed. Eud Verim Shein Lem Shur. Gmirut Chasadim is there. There is no end to how much Chesed one can do. Of course, it has to be put in context, and there is a difficult story which you have to be careful with also, not to be a limiting story. But there's a story about an Amora in Babel who sent message to Eretz Yisrael, where he sent his son to learn, and he asked, what is my son doing? And the answer was, well, he's involved in mitzvahs all the time. He makes sure to go to every wedding. He makes sure to go to every funeral. You know, it's basically, instead of going to learn, he has found a way of finding complete occupation of time without it. But nevertheless, we're not talking about, that's not our students, right? So their fuller involvement in Chesed is great. It's great in every possible way, and especially in the creative Chesedim that Joe has taught us to work on. Friendship. Not everybody can be everyone's friends. But it is possible that we could be friendly with more people than we are. And it's a mitzvah. Because people need friends. People need social relations. And the effort that you make to become someone's friend may be shrugged off. You may find out that he or she has absolutely no interest in being your friend. But but often enough, an effort to become someone's friend is taken very well. And it's an advancement of the potential of yourself as a human being and as a Jew. Talmud Torah. A student or one of us as well, we learn. Are we learning as much as we should be? But maybe a bigger or a more important question is, are we learning as well as we should be? Are we getting to the depth of understanding that we're capable of? Or are we just skimming the surface and not really getting to that depth? And often enough, it's that depth that can really grab hold of the student. How many of you have already experienced that because your students are going to outstanding universities, all of them, they are much more taken by the depth of the secular studies that they're learning, and they view the Torah that they studied in Yeshiva High School or in Talmud Torah, wherever they were, as being rather shallow in comparison. The need to show the depth of Torah and to demand from these students who are learning their secular studies with such great depth, to study Torah with no less depth, Ahavai more, has to be something that they has to be put within their horizons. The possibility of having an effect on others. Now, it doesn't mean that we all are sending everyone out to do kiruv, but the realization that we're within a context. And Rabbi Yisrael Salanter's phrase, that if I talk in shul at an inappropriate time, someone far away is going to be Mechal Shabbos as a result. Because if Yisrael, Rabbi Yisrael Salanter can talk in shul, then someone else can do a greater Avera, and that person does that Avera, someone else can do a still greater Avera. And it just adds up. Maintaining our religious dignity in terms of being at the level of Yiras Hashem and Avas Hashem that we could and should be at is crucial. You know, I remember I once had a student. I don't know if he's a student anymore. He said that when he was learning in Yeshivas Keren B'Yavne, his goal was to be like Rav Kook. He said, today, it was after he left Keren B'Yavne, he said his goal is to be like that Bachar that he knew of himself to be when he was in Keren B'Yavne. The need to set standards for ourselves, to try to develop our potential, to try to maintain our potential, is crucial. And leadership. We can't always do it all alone. We can't say, well, I'm working on myself, I can't worry about the community. We can't turn leadership into something in its own right. This is, of course, is something that many of you may disagree with me about, but it's necessary to start as an individual and then move on to leadership. But leadership has to be an obligation that someone can and should put upon themselves. We need to understand that wherever we're holding, our potential is likely to be greater. And an important realm of tshuva during this period of the year is to ask ourselves, are we fulfilling our religious potential? Thank you for showing up on the Zoom and listening. I'm not going to see the great bulk of you before Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Should have Shana Tova Masuka, Ktivava Chatima Tova. You personally, your families, your students, Toch Shar Am Yisrael. Thank you very much for being here.
Thank you. Amen. Thank you so much, Rabbi Schrader.
Thank you, Rabbi Schrader.
Thank you, Rabbi Schrader. Thank you.